If there's one thing that you should know about God, it's this. God loves you very, very much. This is the simplest yet most profound truth, a truth that we will never quite plunge the depths of on our way back to Eden. Because God loves us so, whatever He wants for us and for our good. That's why this Lent He has given us true lasting comfort in knowing that we have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. Treasures, both earthly and divine, that draw us deeper into the mystery of God's love. Bodies that make visible the invisible, both the spiritual and the divine. And now, in this fourth week of Lent, God gives us desire to urge us toward that which is true, good, and beautiful. As we've come to find on our journey to Calvary, though, in order to receive well the gifts of God, we must first sacrifice our twisted, tainted version of these gifts. We must get out of our comfort zone, sacrifice what we think is comfort to experience growth and true comfort of the Father, who reminds us constantly of our belovedness, even in the midst of the deserts of our lives. We must sacrifice the treasures that possess us to receive the one lasting treasure from whom all blessings flow, Jesus, the true Son of God. We must sacrifice treating our body as an amusement park so that the Lord may reveal to us that our body is, in fact, His temple. And today we must sacrifice our twisted, selfish desire so that the Lord might bend our desire back to its source and destiny. Now, this last one is quite difficult, sacrificing our desire, because it seems to be one of the deepest things about us. Our desire lives and moves and has its being deep in the depths of our hearts, and from those depths, they cry out, they long for fulfillment and satisfaction. But ever since Adam and Eve desired the fruit more than God, our desire hasn't been able to be fulfilled or satisfied. For on that fateful day in Eden, Satan convinced humanity that there is a greater good than God to be desired. And he continues to manipulate us into thinking that we don't need God to be happy. And in fact, God is actually an obstacle to our happiness and an obstacle to our desire being fulfilled. And you can see the effect that this has had on generation after generation of God's people. From right outside the garden, Cain kills Abel because he desires to be the favorite. He desires to be the best. David, a man after God's own heart, has Uriah killed because of his selfish desire for the beauty of Bathsheba. Today, in our reading from 2 Chronicles, we hear of the people of Israel scoffing and mocking and despising God and his prophets because of their desire to be their own God. We don't need God. We're just fine. And even to this day, we experience desire that is out of whack and disordered, leaving us nothing but addicted to satisfying and fulfilling those desires. All of a sudden, we're not in control of them anymore, but instead, they are in control of us. And because those desires are at the deepest part of our hearts themselves become enslaved and lose their freedom to love and to will the good of the other. Now they're only looking for the next pleasure or hit, high or ecstasy that just might fulfill and satisfy these hungry desires. I don't have to tell you what that is for you. The desire that sits at your core. You know it intimately for yourself, as do I. One doesn't have to look far past the liquor cabinet or the pantry, the pocketbook or the planner, your wandering eyes, or the search history to see unfulfilled and unsatisfied desire. And Jesus, seeing this reality, says to Nicodemus in today's gospel, "The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." You could feel the pain and the sadness in Jesus' voice. And what's so interesting about that word love that he uses is that it's not brotherly or friendly or even sensual kind of love, but it's the divine type of love, the deepest type of love, agape. The light came into the world, and the people agaped, deeply, deeply loved the darkness rather than the light. God shows his divine, deep love for us by sending his one and only Son into the flesh, by sending the light into the world, and we, in exchange, have shown our deep divine love by choosing our flesh over the sun, by choosing darkness over light. Our disordered desire has made us do so. And yet, what I find so frustrating sometimes in my personal life, but also so liberating, is that Jesus pursues us all the more. Do you know that? Do you know that to the deep depths of your core, that Jesus is pursuing you in every moment you try to fulfill a crooked desire with things of the flesh? Jesus pursues you as you raid the liquor cabinet, as you raid the pantry, looking to satiate appetites and calm anxieties. Jesus chases you down as you spend frivolously on idols of this modern era. He longs for you as the Father longed for the prodigal son, as we willingly spend time away from his presence in a foreign land. And he calls you back by name after we've searched the web for things that don't know our name. Jesus keeps pursuing you because he knows what's at stake. He knows that unchecked, disordered desire makes war on our hearts and minds and separates us from him. He knows the story from 2 Chronicles. When the people of God rejected God and were led into exile, he knows that an exile is coming, but not for a moment, for eternity. And Jesus' desperate prayer is that you would not get swept up into that exile. He keeps pursuing you, even through the excruciating pain of the cross, because his desire is for you. And he knows that our hearts will only be satisfied if they desire him. Jesus doesn't ask you to sacrifice your desire today because he wants to ruin your fun or take away your pleasure or to make your life a living hell. He asks you to sacrifice your desire today because you desire too little. We desire lesser goods that only leave us wanting. He asks us to sacrifice our desire today because he sees that that desire has made us tired and weary and worn by the world. And he wants to enliven us and divinize our desire. We are more than flesh. We are more than animals. No matter how much Satan or our disordered desire tries to convince us otherwise, we are ones made in the image of God, both body and soul, which means that we are wired for deeper needs and desires that only God can satisfy. St. Thomas Aquinas puts it best. Nothing created has ever been able to fill the heart of man. God alone can fill it infinitely. If there's one thing you should know about God, it's this. He loves you very, very much. And as such, he wants to take your desire out of the darkness and place it into the light. He wants to take your heart out of slavery and bring it to freedom. So are you ready to begin the process of sacrificing selfish, crooked, disordered desire and be given desire for the one who is true, good, and beautiful? If you're ready, if you're ready to take that leap of faith, then do as Jesus instructs us in the gospel. Come into the light. Come to this altar and offer those desires up. Give them over to the Lord. Then let him fill you with the one who alone can satisfy your heart infinitely and arise within you something greater and deeper and more beautiful. When our hearts and desires are anchored back to its source and destiny, we can then begin to rightly see all of our lesser desires work in harmony as they direct us back to the Lord. How our food and our drink, our money and our time, our sexuality and our bodies bring us to the Lord, who alone can satisfy. So what, or rather whom, do you desire? He loves you very much, and he's waiting for you.
Sister, down this 3 weeks away, and it's our joy.